So glad you tuned in. You know, sometimes we all feel as though we're drifting through our work, our relationships, and our spiritual walk. Sometimes it's just a drift. Some of us haven't recovered from the multiple impacts we received from COVID. Things may simply feel harder. Progress comes with more struggles, more effort, and many more distractions. Some days it just feels like we're tied by a leash. A leash around my neck, somebody holding. So I just completed reading Joseph Matera's book, The Jesus Principles. The principles Dr. Matera shares are the principles Jesus used to unleash human potential. Hear that. He unleashed human potential. That's what this book is about. Most of us work to live a life of influence. This book is written to unleash greatness in yourself, your home, and your circle of influence. The book grabbed my attention quickly with 7 questions that helped me consider whether I'm currently living a directed life or drifting aimlessly toward the latest shiny object. I will share Dr. Matera's questions over the next several days. I hope you take this opportunity to consider your path. The first question that Dr. Matera asked cuts straight to the heart of a drifter. Here's the question. Are you experiencing continuous frustration? In other words, how many times have you been frustrated today? If there's too many, you want to pay attention to this. If we aren't pursuing God's specific path for our life, it's likely that we experience many frustrations throughout the day. God lets us know when we're drifting. Did you hear that? God will let you know if you're drifting. He sends us several wake-up calls. When we lose our passion and purpose, it's a good sign that our ship is drifting. We may feel increased anxiety with every project we attempt and even feel blocked by circumstances and feelings. Has that ever happened to you? Can a feeling block you from progress? We know the motions to go through and all the boxes that need to be checked. But motions and check marks don't satisfy the sense that God has more for us. It's not about just check marks. It's about what God wants for us. Frustration builds more frustration. It breeds it. Frustration loves to have more frustration. So how can we influence others when we lack clarity of purpose? The Jesus Principles will help you recover your focus and press into God's call on your life. So connect with Joseph Matera's book. Go to bit.ly/Jesus Principles for 50% off author Joseph Matera's book. That's the book we've been talking about. It's bit.ly/Jesus Principles. Don't forget, there's an S at the end of principles. So go get your copy today. Will you do that? Learn these great principles from author Joe Matera. Connect with that now. Now let's get on to today's show. Welcome back to Green Lines. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. Today I have a relatively new guest. We know her here at Charisma. You'll know her from many things that she's done, particularly the book she's written. She has a podcast show here on the Charisma Podcast Network that we'll talk about. But I just have the honor to introduce you to Becca Greenwood. She's my guest today, and she's got a podcast on our network called Victorious Prophetic Warfare. So you're going to learn a lot about prophetic warfare today. Anytime you're in the prophetic, you can expect warfare because those voices just don't get real happy when God's voice is speaking. There's got to be a camouflage out there. There's got to be a fake. There's got to be some demonic attempt to stop it. But greater is He that is in all of us than he that's in the world. So you're going to meet, and we're going to have a great discussion with Becca Greenwood. I'm thrilled to have her on the show. Let me tell you just a little tad about her. Over the past 24 years, Becca has ministered, participated in, and led in spiritual warfare prayer journeys. Are you ready for this? She gets after it. She just gets on a plane and goes. 34 countries, such as Egypt, Nepal, there's an embattled country, Italy, Turkey, Russia, the Ukraine, Ireland, Spain, China, many other cities and locations throughout the United States. She's lived in Colorado Springs, and it's a little town after my own heart, too, because I love Pikes Peak. But she's just been around and has had a great ministry. She's a professional. She's a minister of God. She's been absolutely well-trained. She's got a terminal degree in it. She's a PhD. Well, she's got a doctorate, put it that way, and that's important in the field that we're in. She now resides in Elbert, Colorado. Listen to this. This is going to make you want to come visit. She's on 75 acres. Now, I think even I can hide on 75 acres and I won't be a bother. You know, I won't get stale after 3 days and get kicked out. But Becca's been a guest on TBN. It's Supernatural, God Knows, The Harvest Show. She's just done so many things. We just need to get her on the phone now and talk to her. So, Becca, welcome to the Green Lines Podcast.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be with you and to get to know each other and to get to talk about the show and all that God is doing through the podcast. So I'm so honored. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, Becca. And we just love who you are, what you do, and how you write. And so I just want to just kind of get started with people getting to know you. Let's start right in the middle of this. How did God pull you into the prophetic?
Oh, goodness. You know, great question. From a very young age, I would see in the spirit realm. I would hear in the spirit realm, very sensitive to things in the spirit. And, you know, when my husband, I won't go through my whole life story, but when my husband and I married and the Lord just supernaturally through a chain of events brought us into Houston, Texas, and we were in a church that was in the beginning of a revival move. And I was so thrilled to be around intercessors and prophetic mm-hmm. intercessors. And they began to talk about this because, you know, Dr. Green, I would literally wake up even in the middle of the night and feel the presence of the Lord and Him wooing me to spend time in prayer and intercession. And He would speak to me about lost family members, about lost neighbors, and He would lead me into interceding and praying for them. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean this in a derogatory manner in any way, shape, or form. When my husband and I first married, we were Southern Baptist youth pastors. And so it's a little different, and I'm very grateful for our upbringing in the Word, and sure. you know, that's so strong in the Word and faith and salvation
and
evangelism. But we got to have both. And so when God wakes you up in the middle of the night and He's speaking people's names to you, and you know that you know it's the Lord, that's not something you could talk about in the Baptist church.
No, not so much.
Not so much. And so when the Lord moved us to Houston and I was with Eddie and Alice Smith and with prophetic intercessors, I was like, oh, praise God, I'm normal. I'm okay.
Yes.
And, you know, and so I'm so thankful for those that the Lord brought us, He brought into our lives, you know, at a young age. My husband and I, you know, at that time, Greg and I were 23 and 24, and they begin to pour into us. And I just found myself in any atmosphere that was teaching and training on intercession, hearing the voice of the Lord, mm-hmm. and that we are to hear His voice, that He is there for, He is for us, and He's our Father, and we are His sons and daughters. And as our Heavenly Father, He wants to relate to us, and He wants to speak to us, and He wants us to hear His voice. And so from the age of 23 on, you know, we have just been mentored and taught and discipled in prophetic intercession, hearing mm-hmm. the voice of the Lord, that this is a part of our daily walk, that He wants each of us and all of those who are listening to learn to hear His voice and to partner with Him day in and day out in our lives and what He has called us to do, or how He's wanting us to pray, or how He's wanting us to see captives set free. And it's a beautiful partnership and a privileged relationship to be able to walk with Him. And from that mentoring, you know, the Lord just really, you know, began to speak to my husband and I about establishing a ministry and praying for cities, regions, praying for individuals, and praying for nations, and through prophetic intercession and through deliverance and inner healing ministry, to see people set free and to see God's kingdom plans established in cities, regions, and nations. And I always tell people what an awesome privilege it is that he has chosen us to partner with him in his kingdom. And he's chosen that for all of his children, for all who believe in him, for all of his sons and daughters. And so, you know, with this, obviously we are very passionate about what we do and what he has called us to do. And I just want to say to all the people that are listening, this isn't just for Becca Greenwood, that this is for every believer.
Yes.
That he wants you to know how to live victoriously and how to hear his voice and to have that relationship where he speaks to you and you know that you know his voice and he's guiding you and directing you in all that you are doing in and through your life.
So let's talk about the Victorious Prophetic Warfare podcast that you have. Now it's almost a year old. You have tens of thousands of downloads. You've got a really big show. A lot of people are listening to you, more than you probably thought. But
I did. I know. Yes. Yay, God.
Praise God. Yes. Yay, God. So tell us what the Lord planted in you that made you decide to do a podcast on CPN and about your show so you can attract other people to come hear it. We want to send people to you to hear your Victorious Prophetic Warfare podcast.
Well, absolutely. You know, one reason why I'm so passionate about training and mentoring others is, you know, I believe many times we can teach and speak and train from experience. Mm-hmm. And so I myself used to be bound by fear, by depression, by anger, and the Lord radically set me free. And I learned in those encounters that I had with the Lord how he radically set me free, that he wants all of his sons and daughters victorious. We are more than conquerors in Christ, and we are overcomers. And one thing that I know that I know that I know is we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory with victory. And once you yourself have overcome a stronghold in your life like fear, like depression. I was so tormented in my mind by guilt and shame and condemnation. It shifted into depression.
Uh-oh.
And there were mornings I wanted to pull the covers up over my head and not get out of bed. I was so tormented by lies of the enemy. And my mother would call me. This was many years ago, many years ago. Our oldest daughter is now 30, and this was happening when she was 2 years old. And my mother would call me and say, "You have a 2-year-old daughter to take care of. Get up out of bed. Get up." And when you're so bound by fear that you had to be drugged up. My husband teases, when we went on our honeymoon when we first married, I was so terrified to get on a plane. He had to give me 4 Dramamine to get on that plane, and it knocked me out. And so when we arrive in Mexico on our honeymoon, he's basically carrying me through the airport. and so I just, you know, laugh every time
bride.
I tell that. Yeah, he had his bride. But the Lord radically set me free. And I want others to know God has that same freedom for you. He has that same freedom for every believer. So within this podcast, we talk about greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. What are tools that he has given us that we can walk victoriously and we can walk in freedom? How do you overcome fear? How do you overcome depression? How do you overcome rejection? How do you overcome addiction? How do you live that victorious lifestyle? And so I teach from my own personal experience how to overcome the schemes of the enemy and to see them defeated in your life, in the listeners' lives, and how to walk victoriously in that freedom and step into destiny. And so I think this is so important, you know, for us to have understanding that the enemy has never nor will he ever play fair, but greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and he has made us more than conquerors, and we don't fight for victory from victory. And so just, you know, as we were talking earlier, I just finished a whole series on the podcast from my new book, Discerning the Spirit Realm, and have many testimonies and stories throughout that book and throughout the podcast that we share of people who have overcome and people who have, you know, gained victory in their lives. And so, and then, you know, we also talk about the prophetic. You know, I'm a prophetic intercessor. I have a gift of prophecy. And so what is intercession? How do we learn how to have an intimate relationship with the Lord in our prayer lives and in our intercession, where we know that we know his voice, and we partner with him in prayer burdens, and we partner with him in growing and understanding how to hear his voice. What are the different ways that he speaks to us? He will speak to each of us in different ways. What are those different ways that he can speak to us through hearing his voice in that place of prayer and intercession, that we can walk victoriously and that we can pray to see awesome breakthroughs as a result of our prayer and intercession, and how to maneuver in our daily lives by hearing his voice. So I am very passionate about teaching and mentoring people in these areas, because I know all of those who are even listening now as I'm talking and sharing, you know, are saying, oh, I'd love to understand how to hear the voice of the Lord better. How can I have a dynamic prayer and intercessory life with him, mm-hmm. where I'm seeing tangible, measurable results and breakthrough as a result of prayer and intercession?
So tell me about your favorite podcast so far. One show that stands out where the power of the Holy Spirit was on display right in the middle of a podcast. Glory fell and you got after it and people's lives changed. Tell me about one of those kind of podcasts.
Oh my goodness. Three just instantly popped into my mind. The one definitely where I teach an abiding message. How do we abide with the Holy Spirit? And even in that podcast, when I was teaching that, I even was saying, guys, on the podcast, guys, the Holy Spirit, because I teach these podcasts from my prayer room where I pray. And so I was telling everyone on the podcast, the presence of the Holy Spirit is in this room and in this podcast, teaching people how to be vitally united to him. I taught a powerful podcast from Acts 2. And when the Holy Spirit fell at Pentecost, and not only when he fell at Pentecost, does it mean that we get baptized in the Holy Spirit now, that we receive a prayer language, but did an in-depth teaching of what does that fully mean when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost with that mighty rushing wind, where he went in with the breath of life of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit to the deepest part of a man and woman that can respond to God and transform them into a kingdom mindset from the inside out. And boy, the presence of the Lord fell so powerfully in that podcast. And then another one that people really have responded to as well is I did a dialogue with my oldest daughter, Kendall, mm-hmm. who is now 30, as I said earlier, and she has a very strong gift of discernment. But we talked about what it was like for me to be her mother, for us to be her mother and father, and for Kendall, because she came out a leader. I tease people. She's me on steroids. And she is a seer. She feels in the spirit realm. She senses. She's a dreamer and she dreams a lot. Very gifted intercessor. And we talked about how it was with her growing up when she began to see and hear in the spirit realm, mm-hmm. and how my husband and I parented her through encouraging that gift and not silencing that gift. And people so loved that. Many a parent had their, after they listened to it, would have their children come back and listen to it with them. Because, you know, a lot of people are a lot of children when they're born, they do see, they do hear in the spirit realm. And we'll often hear it by things like, I saw something scary in my dreams, or there's something scary in my room, or even young children that will say, Mommy, Daddy, I'm seeing an angel. I see Jesus. And we really discussed how to parent your children through these giftings from a young age to where they can grow up as adults, very mature, full of faith within the giftings that the Lord has given them. And so I know that those three are ones that we had great feedback. And even this whole series that we've done on discerning the spirit realm, we talk about the angelic, we talk about the demonic, we talk about how to discern the atmosphere in a city, in a region, and not to allow it to affect you, but how to learn to live above that oppression, even in cities and regions, and to pray effectively to see breakthrough come. And so we've had a great response with people listening to that whole book series. So those are the ones that come to mind as you ask that question.
Well, I was trying to butt in and ask you about your daughter. When,
yes,
as she got older and she recognized this gift, did she often feel led that she needed to go out? Did she see herself going where she wanted to go and try to convince you it was prophetic?
Yes.
Of course she did.
Of course she did. Absolutely. Let me tell you an awesome story about
Come on.
Her.
I want to hear a story about your daughter.
Yes, an awesome story. I'll tell two. Let me share one from when she was the age of 4, and then I'm going to jump to when she was the age of 18.
Okay.
And this is how she operates. And she was the age of 4, and I was cooking dinner. My husband, Greg, was about to be home from work. And I told her, I said, Kendall, sweetie, go clean your room. And she was just always so obedient, so happy, just a joy. Kendall's always been such a joyful young woman, even, and child. And she says, okay, mama. And she still says mama just like that to this day. Mm-hmm. And she goes to her room to clean her room. She comes back about 5 minutes later, and oh, she is upset. She is sassy. She's got her hand on her hip, and she is tapping her foot. And she says, mama, she says, you want to know something? And I said, sure, baby, what? And she said, mama, there was one of those bad, evil things that you and daddy don't like. She was meaning a demon, and it was a bad, evil thing in my room. And mama, do you know what it said to me? And I said, no, baby, what? Now, I don't like that a demon was in my baby's room talking to her, right? You know, so I want to hear what it said. And so she said, mama, it told me not to clean my room. And I said, well, what did you do? And she said, out of a 4-year-old's mouth, this is what she said.
Come on.
Mama, I stomped on its head, and I said, no, in Jesus' name. And mama, that demon disappeared. She couldn't say disappear
right. That's a good story. Oh, she's
so
sweet. Nice. I thought she was going to try to wiggle out of it here a little bit.
No. And so she even said this other thing about the angelic, and I'll jump to the story of 18. She said, mama, she said, I have angels. You have angels. Daddy has an angel. The twins, mama, they were newborn. Our twin daughters were newborn. They have angels, mama. Mama, those angels help us. And this is how you knew she was seeing. Because we did not allow our children to watch things that were demonic, of witchcraft, that were violent in nature. And what she could, this child could describe, you knew she was seeing. And I could just give testimony after testimony. But she said, mama, those angels, they have a big, pointy, shiny thing. Like, and she was holding it in her hand. Mama, they hold it, mama, in their hand. And mama, you know what they do? I said, no, baby, what? Mama, when those demons come, mama, they take that pointy, shiny thing and they swing it. And she made this sound like whoosh, like someone swinging a sword in that motion. And she said, Mama, they help us like that. And Mama, you know what happens? I said, no, Mama, those demons disappear. Because, you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, here's a spiritual warfare 101 lesson by a 4-year-old. And then she sat down at the table at the age of 18 with my husband and I. And she said, now, Mom and Dad, I want to tell you what I want to do with my life. And we said, okay. And she said, I want to be a writer. I want to go into journalism. And I want to have a righteous kingdom influence in journalism.
Good.
And I looked at her and I said, now, sweetie, we think that's great. And she's more gifted in writing than I am, way better. And which you want it that way. And she, and I said, now you realize if you're going to go into the secular world with this, it's very liberal. Lots of times they don't like Christians. There's going to be a lot of warfare, sweetie, surrounding this. And that 18-year-old, our 18-year-old daughter looked at us and she said, Mom and Dad, don't you know whose daughter I am?
Uh-oh.
Don't you know I've heard you teach? Don't you know I've heard what you have imparted to the body of Christ all these years? Let me go and be and do what you teach and preach.
Mm-hmm.
And and she's been so amazing in this field. And she has stood for righteousness, working for secular magazines, working for secular outlets. And there's such favor of the Lord on her life. And she always brings kingdom principles into what she is doing. And half the time, people reading it feel the presence of the Lord and the favor of the Lord. And they might not even fully understand why. But we have watched promotion after promotion after promotion happen for her already within her journalistic career, because she has told the Lord, I will do this without compromise. So we can raise up, and all of you who are listening, we can raise up powerful, powerful children and grandchildren who know who they are in the Lord and who know who God has called them to be, where they can make a great impact.
Amen. Well, ma'am, we are out of time, but I want to ask you one more question to end on. And
yes,
first
sir.
Of all, I wanted to ask you where your daughter went to journalism school.
She actually went to, because, you know, we are here in Colorado. So she went to the University of Colorado in Fort Collins.
Oh, that's a good school.
She was in it's a good school. It's a good journalistic.
Yep.
It's a good journalistic school. And
good.
She did great. She did really well in it. And
well, good for her.
And good for her. Yes.
Well, then I want to close with your life verse. I want to hear what you go to, where you turn on good days or not so good days, everything in the middle. What do you lean on in the Bible that is really what you would call your life verse?
I'm so glad you asked me that. I'm going to share, if I have time, I'm going to share two verses with you. First, I'm going to share Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness covers the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord shall be seen upon you. The Lord will rise upon you, and the glory of the Lord shall be seen on you. And then my second favorite verse is 1 Peter 2:9, and I'm going to read it to you from the Passion Translation because it's so beautiful. But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. I love this part. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light. And now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world.
Amen. That's a good word. I do have to ask you another question, though. I know you're sort of in between seasons. You're moving, and you've moved. Do you feel like that in that interval between seasons that God speaks to you in that quiet time? Or where's your mind relative to how you're using your divine appointments today?
You know, I am very much an intimate, I'm very much an intimate intercessor. And so I spend much time in my prayer room, a minimum of an hour to 2 hours a day. Everything that we do is built on the foundation of prayer and intercession and hearing the voice of the Lord and personally having that relationship with Him. And that is so crucial, especially for where we are in the world and what we are seeing unfold in history during this time, that we have that foundation built solidly on Him. And you know what's so amazing? When we put Him first and we put His kingdom first, God is so awesome to cause our path to be set straight in front of us. And mm-hmm. He causes us to have those divine encounters with Him. But as we have those divine encounters with Him, it causes the favor of the Lord to be awakened and in our lives, that He causes the divine alignments, He causes divine connections, He causes divine relationships. It's like we know where we are to be at the right time, at the right place. And He keeps us in His timing in our lives to ensure that everywhere He is sending us, that is where that it's at that right timing for beautiful kingdom alignments and relationships. You know, we always tell people there are no lone rangers in the body of Christ, and that He has beautiful friendships, beautiful relationships, beautiful church relationships for people to be able to be engaged in, that we can function together as what I will term the ecclesia that He has called for such a time as this, because I believe we are in the most historic time of Christianity in the history of the world, and He has privileged us to be alive for this time, each of us, for a purpose and a reason and a destiny. And God is about connecting His sons and daughters together that we can have great influence, see the greatest harvest we've ever seen, and to see reformation and transformation realized in cities, regions, and nations. You know, I know we're at the end. There's a beautiful, and I'm sure, Dr. Green, you know about Almolonga, Guatemala, you know, one of the most transformed cities, right, that we know of, that has occurred in the history that we know of, modern history. And I believe what God did in Almolonga, Guatemala, He wants to see us do in every city and region that we all live, that it is so impacted for the kingdom of God, that it's 90% Christian, that businesses are named after the kingdom of God, businesses are flourishing on kingdom principles, churches are alive with the presence of the Holy Spirit, that people are healed and saved and delivered. And so I believe all of those are such key foundations for where we are in the time that we're alive in this season.
Well, ma'am, we'll leave it there. What a great podcast, good information. We want to remind people that you have your podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network, Victorious Prophetic Warfare. It's on CPN. You've heard her. I'm sure you don't want to miss an episode. You've got plenty of books. Are your books all on Amazon?
They are all on Amazon, all good. Of our books. Yes, sir.
So, and they'll learn a lot about prophetic warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. Learn a lot about prophetic warfare, glory warfare, discerning the spirit realm, intercession, all of those, yes.
Well, I wanted to talk to you about those things in your books, but we're just out of time, and we need to reschedule another one so we can talk about glory warfare. That would be a great topic.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that.
Okay, ma'am. We've been visiting with Becca Greenwood. If you've missed her, catch up, get some of those books, and come on in and watch her listen to her on the Charisma Podcast Network. You can find her on Victorious Prophetic Warfare. You've been listening to the Green Lines Podcast. I'm Steve Green on the Charisma Podcast Network. On behalf of my producer, Adley, we always like to remind all of you that Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And we think if you want abundant living, press in. Press in to the voice of the Lord. God bless you all. Thanks for listening.